Kings chapter 10. Your Bible's 1 Kings chapter 10. Seeing the life of Solomon and learning lessons from him and his life that God teaches us. Some of them mistakes he made, but mostly things he did well. And there's some things he does well in this passage this morning that we can sure use. You understand that Solomon is the man that was given credit for writing most of the book of Proverbs, which has a lot to say about wisdom. Sometimes defining even simple Bible terms can be a little bit challenging. Wisdom is right knowledge rightly applied, knowing the truth and applying it. And you and I know almost everyone here today, I think, and you and I understand that the Bible says Christ died for our sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says that we are saved not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy. And you understand that we get wisdom from the Bible. And aren't you glad you got that wisdom and you know that when you step into eternity, you'll step into the presence of the Lord and not into a place called hell? That is a result. Now, what you're going to see here in 1 Kings chapter 10 is some results of Solomon's wisdom. And that's evidence, proof that this man is wise. And he's going to be visited by this woman who is called the Queen of Sheba. And I like what it says there in chapter 10 and verse 1. If you look there with me, it says, she came to prove him with hard questions. And then if you look at verse 3, it says, there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. He told her all her questions. Wisdom has answers. Wisdom can answer the hard questions in life. Wisdom can, and we take it for granted sometimes that we have a Bible and we read it and we know what it says and we understand things and questions that other folks ask and they can't answer, like where will they spend eternity or why are they here or what should they do while they're here? And we have all those answers in the Bible. We take it for granted. But folks, today we're going to look at how one man's wisdom affected somebody else. It's not just enough that you and I have that wisdom. It needs to be given to others. So let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 1 and I read down to around verse 13 or so. It's kind of a long passage, but bear with me and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard of mine own land, of thy acts, and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in the Ophir from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almond trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such almond trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Let's pray. Father, on this weekend that we think of as Thanksgiving weekend, Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you brought into my life, into the lives of these people, that we've heard in the Word of God how we can trust Christ as our Savior and how we can know we have eternal life and how we can know not just what this life holds for us, but what eternity holds for us. And we can see clearly details in the Bible of things that we can do to have a good life, a life that pleases you and a life that is safe and secure. And Lord, thank you for that. I thank you today, even though, Lord, we know of some folks that are going through trials right now. I know they're thankful as well because they realize that the most important matters in their life have been handled, that their eternal security is in your hands. And the Bible says that it'll never be able to be taken away from you. Lord, today, help us, please. Teach us. We don't deserve it. But you love us, and you forgive us, and your Bible says your mercy endures forever. So, Lord, today, please be with us and give us, in these next few moments, understanding from the Word of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it funny how you can learn about people just by hearing a few things about them? And without being unkind, I think the Queen of Sheba had some doubts. She had heard some things, and she thought from where she stood, not being able to visit Solomon as of yet, she thought, oh, that can't be true. It just can't be that good. This fellow can't have that kind of success, that kind of prosperity. He can't be that wise. And she was moved enough by what she heard about Solomon and about Israel that she wanted to find out for herself. Now, I want to ask you a question. Shouldn't you and I live a life that makes others want to know more? Amen? And shouldn't we have evidence in our life that others can see, and they might perhaps wonder, how can they be so content? How can they be at peace? How can they have the kind of security that most folks in the world don't know? It's a very insecure world right now, isn't it? People worried about money and worried about the future. And if you read the news, it's always about money because that's what the world trusts in, is its riches. And like we learned in Sunday school, that when you have the wrong God, you're going to have to learn the hard way who really is God. But the Queen of Sheba had heard about Solomon, heard about Israel, and you can see her attitude, if I can use that word, in verse 1. It says, she came to prove him with hard questions. In other words, she had some questions, and she wanted to know if he had the answers. Now, if you didn't see it, it's kind of clear here, but in verse 3 it says, there was not anything hid from the king. And the implication or the intent of that statement is, Solomon's wisdom did not come from Solomon, it came from God. Amen? That's where you and I get wisdom. You know, you and I may see in our heart some things that we think are wise, but the Bible is where you're going to find the truth. And when the Bible says it, that settles it, that's wisdom, and that's what we live by. And Solomon, she said, you know, I want to prove this. I want to check this out. I want to test this fellow. And came in, and she talked to him, and he answered her questions, and she saw his kingdom and how things were being run. And so I like it when it says there at the end of verse 5, it says there was no more spirit in her. In other words, she had come there in a spirited way. I'm going to check this fellow out. And after she heard his answers, and after she saw what she saw, the doubt was gone. And the challenge was gone. And the thought was, no, this is just even better, she says, than what I had heard. Now, there's a couple of ways to apply this today. One of them is encouraging and one of them is challenging. I know we all like to think, or perhaps we like to think, I won't say all, but a lot of us like to think we've got things kind of figured out, and we kind of know where we're going in life and what our life's purpose is and so on. And if you got those answers from the Bible, you got the right answers. But I've met people that say that they're wise, and they're not. And I hesitate to use the word fool because that's an insult, and I don't want to insult anybody. But folks, I know some people that claim to be wise, and they're not living a wise life. There's no evidence of it. There's no proof that their wisdom is really true wisdom. The fact is, in many cases, it's not. I can say this plainly to you. If you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out on wisdom. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that He came into your heart, He lives in you, He works with you, He speaks to you in a way that's difficult to explain perhaps, but it's very clear. And if the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you, you have already accepted, you've done the wisest thing you could by accepting the Son of God to be your Savior. And the Bible, and I won't do it right now, but if you go back to Proverbs and you start reading about wisdom, you'll find that quite often those very same verses that apply to wisdom also apply to Christ. He is our wisdom. So Solomon had this advertisement, so to speak. People had been talking about him, and she had heard of his fame in verse 1. And so she heard, but look what she heard. She heard of his fame concerning the name of the Lord. It wasn't just that Solomon was great. It was that the Lord was great. And before I go any further, let me make that clear as well. We do want people to see and to hear, but we don't just want them to hear that we made a lot of money or that we made good decisions, business decisions, or good family-raising decisions or whatever. We want folks to know it's because of the Lord. They need to hear concerning the Lord. And she did. And praise the Lord, Solomon presented it that way. And so now she comes in and she is going to ask him some questions, it says at the end of verse 1. She's going to prove him, it says there in verse 1. She's got a spirit in her that's challenging, and she's going to challenge him, and she's going to see if he really is what he's supposed to be. So the Bible says in verse 1, that she had hard questions at the end of verse 1. When you have wisdom in your life, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the answer to the most important questions in life. It's not a matter of pride, oh, I know the answer. It's just a matter of humility. God knows the answer, and He shared it with me. So as I look at these three things, and that's the first of them, ask yourself, is this what people are seeing in your life? And the question is, do you demonstrate answers to life's hardest questions? She was skeptical. She had questions. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? How can I be sure of eternity? How can I face life's problems? Where am I going to find the answers? And folks, today people have those kind of questions. I've mentioned to you about 20 years ago I was asked to go speak at a public high school in a religion class. And we had bought 12 gross, so over 100 Bibles, and they were all exactly the same. They had the same page numbers and had a bunch of them. We had boxes of them in our storeroom in the church there in Utah. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to go speak to these guys in this high school Bible class, I'm going to give them a Bible. And so I got a box of those Bibles, and they all had the same page numbers on them. And I took them in, and I gave every student, there were 15, I think, in the class, I gave them all one of these Bibles. And I had one as well. And so they started asking me questions. And they were kind of like the Queen of Sheba. They're going to challenge me. Let's see what this fellow thinks. And one of them asked me, is it wrong to dance? Oh, boy, okay. First of all, you understand the motive behind that question. And so, you know, we deal with those kind of things. And, oh, people dance in the Bible, they said. And I said, yeah, they dance, but they didn't dance women and with men and so on. And we talked about that. But that wasn't a good question. The best question I heard all day, this young lady seriously said to me, why am I here? That's a hard question. Actually, there's a good answer. I took her to the Revelation. And the reference escaped me right now, but it's in the first couple of chapters. I think it's in chapter one. But anyway, I took her to the Revelation. And so I told the whole class, I said, turn to page number so-and-so in that Bible, because they didn't know if they'd know which books were where and find the Revelation. I said, turn to page so-and-so in that Bible. They did. And I said, now look on the page on the right there. Look under there, and it says this. It says, we were created by God for His pleasure. That's the answer. Why am I here? She said. And my answer is, God created you to please Him. Amen? Good answer. Say, well, Pastor Schaefer, where did you get that answer? Out of the Bible. Just remembered the verse, and God gave me some memory there and took him to that. And we did that over and over and over again. They would ask questions. I'd show them answers in the Bible. Now, at the end of the class, I did not have an opportunity to do a formal invitation, but I always try to present the gospel, and I explain to them, anybody here, all you students here need to understand before I leave, the Bible, the same Bible I've been using to answer your questions today, says Jesus died for your sins. The most important thing I can tell you today is if you would ask Him to save you from your sins, He'll come into your heart and be your Savior for all eternity. Left Him with the Bible and went on my way and was excited about the fact that when they had a hard question, the Bible had the right answer. Do you have the right answers? Amen? And you ought to be able to use that Bible in such a way that you can show folks those answers. I've told you the story of David Cloud. Was before he got saved, he was a long-haired fellow and kind of irreverent, and he was hitchhiking across the country, and he got picked up by a driver, and the fellow was a born-again Christian. And David Cloud got to noticing this fellow's music and got to noticing the way he's dressed, and he asked him, hey, are you a Christian? The fellow, yeah. And David Cloud began to ask him questions, because the world has questions. And David Cloud asked him these questions, and the fellow would answer David Cloud by saying, well, the Bible says, and David Cloud was impressed by the fact that the fellow could not only say what the Bible says, but tell him where it said it. He'd say in Romans or in James or wherever, and the fellow would give him the answers to his questions. And because of that man, David Cloud got saved. And if you know anything about his ministry, he has seen a lot of fruit, because somewhere along the way, somebody was able to take the Bible and answer his questions. We ought to be able to do that, folks. I went out on a visitation in Salt Lake City when I first got right with God. We had just moved there, and this would have probably been 1987, and I went out on visitation with this fellow named Earl Cruz. And they sent us to go visit a man that was about 70 years old, and he had been a Mormon his entire life. Well, Earl Cruz knew his Bible. And as we're standing on this, I remember, I can still see the scene vaguely in my mind. It was a warm enough day that we're standing outside. This fellow's on the porch, and we're on the steps, and we're at the older house, and we're talking to him. And he's got hard questions. And Earl Cruz didn't blink an eye. The fellow would ask Earl Cruz a question, and Earl would give him the answer from the Bible. And when it was all over, I remember walking back to the car, thinking to myself silently, I need to learn my Bible better. I need to be able to do that. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And folks, you and I should know our Bibles that well, that when people have a question, we may know the answer. We may know, well, you know, you need to be saved, but we need to be able to give the answer to life's hard questions. Why am I here? What should I do? How do I find God's will? How do I know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do? There are hard questions in life, and folks, wisdom has the answers. Now, there's a second thing that you can see about wisdom. True wisdom answers life's hardest questions. True wisdom also produces life's best results. Luke 7:35 says, wisdom is justified of all her children. That's an interesting statement. In other words, there's a metaphor there, there's a illustration. Wisdom has products. Wisdom produces things. And when you look at what wisdom produces, you see what's best. You see the best result that you could get. You see, the Queen of Sheba didn't just hear what Solomon had to say, but look what happens in verses 4 through 8. It says in verse 4, she had seen all Solomon's wisdom. And then it starts to describe these things, the meat on his table in verse 5, his servants, his ministers, his cupbearers, the way he went up to the house of God. And after she says that, she says in verse 7, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And she had seen the fact that the wisdom in Solomon's life had produced results. What kind of results has wisdom produced in your life? Amen? It changes us, doesn't it? I can tell you this, if you are wise, you'll walk with the Lord, you'll be faithful to church, you'll serve your God. But there will be evidence beyond that. There will be the things that God does. I think of Mrs. Spencer. We have this teacher, if you hadn't heard, and she had a brain tumor, and a week ago Friday, she went to the hospital, and they diagnosed her, and on Monday, they operated on her, and they took that brain tumor out. I've known people that go through things like that, and you will see in those people. I talked to her on the phone late last week. I forgot what day it was. I talked to Mrs. Spencer on the phone after the surgery, and she's at perfect peace because she knows she's in God's hands. And that result of wisdom in her life keeps her from being frightened. It keeps her from being anxious. It's not that she knows what's going to happen next, but she knows the God that's in control. And folks, if you have your eyes on God, you don't need to worry. Everything's okay. You just trust Him, and He's going to do what's best. And we all understand that one day we're going to step into eternity, or we're going to leave this body. Our spirit is going to go to eternity, and our body is going to be decayed, and then we'll get a glorified body when we get to heaven and so forth. But the Bible says that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And she knew, just like Stephen Trell knew, just like other folks that have had some trials lately knew, just like Mrs. Dahlman's sister who passed away last week knew. Folks, when you die, you go to be with Jesus. Everything's okay. There's peace to be had there. And between now and then, He promised He would never leave us or forsake us. But there's other evidence of wisdom. The church in Salt Lake City that trained me, one of the charter members' name was Joe Hawkins, and he had a son, had three sons, True, Tim, and John, I think was the third one. And I forget which it was, either True or Tim Hawkins. One of those two came to our church to preach, and he said, you know, we'll go to Brazil. We'll go into a city, and we will begin to reach the teenagers are the ones we try to reach first, he said, and then their parents will begin to come, and before you know it, we'll have a church. And they've started church after church after church in these cities in Brazil. And he said, and once we get the church started, we get a pastor into that church, we go to another city and we do the same thing there. And he says, you know, when we go back to those churches that we started, he says, every single time, what we will see is that the people in that church are doing better, they're more prosperous, they're healthier, their situation is better than it was when we had been there before. God's giving them a good life. God gives us a good life. God meets our needs. God answers our prayers. God cares for us. It's not that we don't have trials. It's not that we don't ever get sick. We do. But we have a God that gets us through those kind of things. Wisdom has evidence. I don't want to be unkind. I'll be kind of blunt. But if you think you're wise, there should be some evidence of it. And it's not just evidence in having the answers to life's questions. It's evidence in the way you're living your life and what you're experiencing in your life. And folks, God will care for His children and bless us and give us a good life. Amen? So she saw all these things, His provision, His servants, His governing. And look at what she says in verse 8. This is good. This is evidence right here. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually and that hear thy wisdom. And then look at verse 9. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, or delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because God hath loved Israel. God loved Israel forever. Therefore made he king to do judgment and justice. I like that word happy. Don't you like to be happy? Are you happy? You can be. What keeps us from being happy? You know, one of the biggest things to keep you from being happy is worry. I put a little note on the back of the bulletin today. You might look at after the service or sometime. just some thoughts. You know, we worry a lot about nothing. But let me say it differently. We worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. And you can't do a thing by worrying. It doesn't make any difference. You say, oh no, what if? Oh no, what if? That changes nothing. And I got to thinking, and that's why I put it on the back of the bulletin. What if we just walked through life thinking, you know, everything's okay. Everything's going to be fine. It's what's funny is we can look back in our life at the things, if you can even remember what you were worrying about, and occasionally we can. A lot of the times we've forgotten already because God answered so well it just seems irrelevant. But I can remember times in my life when I was concerned about certain things. And you know what's interesting? I look back and I think, look how God took care of that. Look how God took care of that. Look how God took care of me here. Look what God did there. Now, do you think he's going to stop doing that tomorrow? Or the next day? Or the next day? And do you realize how much worry you have invested unnecessarily when you could have prayed and trusted God instead? I told you the story of my friend Glenn Burke who fell off a chimney. He was working on in a chimney shop and he fell off of a ledge and he caught his ear in a chimney and pulled it almost all the way off his head. Didn't have any insurance. He did die in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. They revived him. He got to the hospital. They sewed him up. The whole time they were working on him, I got there right after he did. And was there until 2 or 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning probably. And the whole time they're working on him, it wasn't the pain that he was worried about. It wasn't whether he was going to die or not, which he could have, that he was worried about. He kept telling me, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for this? And not that I am a prophet or anything, but I just said, Glenn, you know God's going to take care of you. And you know good and well it's going to be all right. You're going to hate yourself for worrying about this later on. Just don't worry about it. Just trust God. And sure enough, I've told you this story. A fellow wrote a check and paid for the whole thing. Tens of thousands of dollars. And a fellow in Park City, Utah, where there's a lot of rich people, just wrote a check and paid for the whole thing. Folks, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The wealth in every mine, as we read in the Bible. And if you would just trust him and relax, wouldn't life be so much better? If you just believe what the Bible says and trust him, everything's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. And that living a life like that, if you've got that kind of peace in your life, I think somebody's going to see it and want to ask some questions. And they're going to realize, and they better realize, it's not because of you that you have peace, it's because of the Lord that you have peace. You have the right God, and you know him, and you know how he loves you, and how he's promised to take care of you, and you've seen him do it for your entire life, and so everything's okay. Now, that may take a little exercise, I'll call it, to get good at that, but why don't you just practice that idea? Instead of saying, oh no, what's going to happen, say, Lord, I trust you with whatever happens. Whatever. Amen? Say, Pastor, what if God takes me a direction I don't want to go? Then you wanted to go the wrong way. What if God does something I didn't want? Then you had the wrong wants. Because God knows what's best. Folks, that's not just talk. That's the truth. You see, when she came, she had this spirit. She was challenging him. He had answers. He had evidence. His life had demonstrated that. And then we'll finish up here. Look at verse 9. She says, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. And says in verse 9 at the end, it says, therefore made he thee, the king, to do judgment and justice. So it is nice to have the answers. In fact, it's terrific. It's beyond description to have the answers to life's hardest questions. And it is nice. It is a blessing. It's happiness when God gives you the life that you can have because of wisdom. But folks, it's not just about us. It's not just what we get and how we're affected individually that matters. True wisdom affects other people. Amen? That's what it says here. She says, you know, God demonstrated his love to Israel by making you their king because you're wise. Now, you remember how Solomon got wise. Don't forget that what happened was that God came to him and said, Solomon, what would you like? I'll give you anything you want. And Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for victory over his enemies. He said, Lord, make me wise. Now, I know a verse in the book of James that says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And that word upbraid means to kind of denigrate or say something bad about someone because they don't know. God knows you don't know. He's not going to insult you or think low of you. But when you go to God and ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. Oh, what a fool I am sometimes. And you can say the same thing when I spend all my energy trying to figure things out instead of letting God figure it out. We have things that we face every day. What am I going to do? I don't know, but God does. When I lack wisdom, I can ask God. Listen to me. When was the last time you asked God for wisdom? Amen? Did you not need wisdom recently? We need wisdom every day. I don't know what to do, but God does. I don't know the solution to that problem, but God does. I'm not sure what step to take next, but God knows. Ask the Lord for wisdom. He'll give it to you. And why? Not just so that you and I can have a good life, but so that we can affect others for the Lord. Solomon was the wise ruler. We've already seen that in practice. some situations he dealt with and how he dealt with them. And we're going to see some more of that. The wisdom that Solomon had wasn't just wisdom to benefit him. It was to benefit others. And by the way, this woman benefited as well. Let's look at the end of the story. We're almost done. We're almost out of time. So it says in verse 10, she gave the king 120 talents of gold and very spices. And you read about the spices. It says that's the most spices anybody ever gave. And then it talks about the navy of Hiram and talks about those are almond is what that word almug is, trees. And all the things that happened. And in verse 13, it says, King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned, look at verse 13, she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And what do you think they said when they got back? You should see what we've seen. You should hear what we've heard. There's a man in Israel, and he has the answers. He has a God that gave him the answers. Folks, are you and I doing such things that folks could say that about us? That we can go back to our country, they can go back to their country, so to speak, and say, there's somebody out there that knows the Lord and got wisdom from him and applied it, and we've seen the results. That's what we're all about, amen? Now, as I taught in Sunday school, there will be some times when things don't go perfectly right away. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, let Israel go. And Pharaoh turned around and punished and persecuted the Israelites because of that request. And at the end of the chapter we looked at today, which is chapter 5, everybody's all upset. The people are upset. Pharaoh's upset. Moses is upset. But folks, God wasn't finished yet. And the thing, you and I, we just keep on reading. They had to live it. We keep on reading Exodus, and we see what's next and what's next and what's next. And you get down around chapter 15 or 16 and so on, they get out. And God delivers their firstborn and kills the firstborn of Egypt. And then he provides them food and water in the wilderness and gives them victory over their enemies. And we keep on reading, but they had to live that. We look at the end of chapter 5 and we say, wait, folks. No, don't be mad. God's not done yet. Just be patient. God's about to start acting, and you're going to see what God can do. But then, what about the things you and I have to live? In other words, we can tell what God did for the Israelites in the book of Exodus. We can see what God did for Solomon here in the book of 1 Kings. And when you and I have to live through things that are difficult, it's the same God. It's the same promises. And it'll be the same outcome. Wisdom is knowing the truth that God has given and then applying it in your life. And if you want to know more about that, start reading in Proverbs chapter 1. You can see a lot of great ways to apply wisdom. It talks about who you have company with and how you spend your time and what you set as your goals and so many different things. I hope if you're a mature Christian, if you've been saved for a while, you've come to that place to where you realize, I know the answers because God gave them to me. I'm living the life that God gave to me. I'm praying I can influence others that God's put around me. And then one day, not too far from now, I'm going to step into eternity and I'll be able to say, everything God did in my life was just perfect. And I trusted him and I lived for him and some other folks followed me as a result. That's what you see here in Solomon's life. If you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's wise, but that's not the end of the story. I've been saved since I was a very young man, and I've had a lot of decades of life since then that I needed wisdom from God. It's not just getting saved. It's after you are saved. It's one day at a time, living, walking, hearing, applying the wisdom of God. That's what gives you the life you ought to have. And chances are, some of us have had stories in our life where we either doubted God or we disobeyed God and we saw the consequences of that so that God could teach us that we should do what we ought to do. If you're here today and you're saved, keep on getting wisdom from God. One day at a time. If you'll do that, you'll have the answers. You'll have the evidence. You'll affect other people. And wouldn't it be great, oh, I hope it's true, that when you step into eternity, some people would say, I saw, look at verse 1, concerning the name of the Lord, I saw things in you that made me want to ask those questions. And because of that, I found Christ as my Savior. Amen? We go door to door and we knock on doors and we tell folks about the Lord, and we should do that. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of the folks you meet at the door, they don't know you from the fellow that delivered the pizza the day before. They have no understanding of what's happening in your life. But there are people that you're closer to than that, people that you work with, people that you see often. They should see the difference. And they should see something that would make them say, I wonder why he has a piece or she has a piece that I don't have. I wonder why they know the answers to the questions that I have to ask. I wonder why this blessing in their life that I don't see. I wonder how they can be happy when I can't. And folks, if we have wisdom in our life, that evidence will be there and people will see it. And somebody will ask you, what makes you different? Amen? Let's all stand and pray.